week. Not this week here, but next week we may have the new camera system put in. So we're going to see how that is going to go. I think it's going to be better than the little iPhone in front of me here. We will see. And we may have to do a little tweaking here and there, but it should be good. I'm told it's going to be good. So I'm hoping and praying that it will work well. We'll wait and see what happens, I guess, right? That's all we can do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I started this morning by the first thing that we talked about was repenting, how we need to repent as 2020 is coming to an end and 2021 is on the verge of entering here in our life. We had an interesting 2020. I'm sure that we're going to have an interesting 2021. Seems like every year there are things that happen, some good, some bad, but that's the way life is. We have to expect that. We have no clue what's going to take place in our own personal lives in the next year. Good things can happen, and maybe some things that aren't so good. We don't know. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and be prepared for whatever comes our way. That's pretty much all we can do. And realize as a Christian, we have so much hope, so much, we're blessed people.
Yeah, that's right.
And we can, no matter what it is we're going through, we can certainly give God honor and glory. We said that this morning. That's number one of the things that the first one that I mentioned is we should always resolve to give God the glory in everything that happens in our life. We should resolve to know Christ better in our lives. It's something that we just, all Christians should have this desire to know Christ better. And then third thing I said this morning was we should be resolved to be more holy. There's nothing wrong with these things. These are things that we need to implement in our life, to have constantly every single day. We should be striving for these things. I'm going to continue this tonight and give you some more things. Number four, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together again tonight. Thank you for your blessings. Bless the message, Lord, tonight. Speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The fourth thing that I wrote down is to read and study the scriptures more. Again, many of you have gone through did your Bible reading every day through the year of 2020. And in hopes that you are going to finish up, maybe you've already finished reading your Bible through, maybe you're going to finish up here this week, reading your Bible through again. Hopefully you've been doing this each year. I've been doing it each year that we've started this. To me, it's a blessing. As I've been saying, I really think that this Bible reading program is a good program. It gives you an all-around learning of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, and Psalms. And it just gives us the ability to be able to, I think, be more balanced as a Christian. I know that it helps me, even as a pastor. I don't get off on one tangent all the time, just reading and studying on one particular thing. I'm reading a book right now and studying on where America is in the realm of the prophecy of the last days. And I'm going to bring some kind of a message on that here in the near future because I think it's important that we know where we do stand as a country and what is kind of in the forecast for this country. But I do pray that the Lord comes back soon. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure that you are too. If you're saved and you see what's going on in the world, you're praying for the Lord to come back also, like John did. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But we need to read and study the Bible. We need to read and study the scriptures. The Bible says study. Very first word in that verse, study. Study, study. That's something that we need to do as Christians. Now, it's not just for the preacher or the Sunday school teachers. It's for all Christians. All Christians need to study. I know that Paul was writing this to Timothy, a young preacher, and Paul was really, you know, focused on that and telling Timothy to study the scriptures, but we all need to study the scriptures. There's nobody in here that I know of that's exempt from studying the Bible. No Christian is exempt from reading the Bible. And so we need to study the Word of God. We need to make sure that we spend time reading and then studying. As I say, I do word studies and make sure that you have a good dictionary nearby, a concordance of something to study out words. You can do word studies. You can do passage studies. You can do book studies. You can do verse. I mean, there's all kinds of name studies. You can study out the names of individuals. There's so much this Bible has to offer. We'll never exhaust it. We'll never preach the whole thing and teach the whole thing. We can't do it. There's no way. But we need to study it. We need to read it. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So what does that mean? If you don't study the Word of God, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. I want to make sure that I'm doing something that God approves of. And studying the Scriptures is something that God approves of. So think about that as you read and study the Bible. Then it says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Sometimes some situations have come our way that maybe somebody asked us a question. We had no clue how to answer. There's been many, many times. I don't know at all. People ask me questions a lot about certain scripture and passages or whatever. And I sometimes just have to honestly say, I'm not sure how that goes. How do you think it goes? You know, you can go back and forth and kind of do that a little bit. I've learned a lot over the years. Obviously, the longer you're saved, the more you read the Bible, the more you're going to learn. That's something that's going to happen. But we don't want to be ashamed. We don't want to be ashamed with the Lord. I don't want the Lord ashamed of me that I'm not reading and spending time in His Word. He gave us a copy of this Bible for one purpose. That one purpose is for us to direct our lives properly and right. Now, there's different ways that you can study the Bible. You can study the Bible. I have these three things written down. This observation. What does the passage of Scripture say? Read the passage of Scripture. Find out what it says. That's the observation method. Just reading the Scripture, reading the passage, see what it says. That's somewhat the historical aspect of the Bible, or the way that you study the Bible. The second one is the interpretation part, which is the spiritual. What does the passage mean? So you can read it. You know what it says. Now you get into the next phase. Well, what does that mean? Here's what it says. That's nice. But what does it mean? That's the spiritual aspect. What does the passage mean? And then the third one is the application. That's the practical part of studying the Bible. What am I going to do with the passage I just read? I read it. I know what it says, pretty much. Now what do I do with it? See, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So we know the Bible has been given to us for that purpose. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture, everything, Old Testament, New Testament, everything, all of the prophecies, all of the things. Sometimes we struggle with some of the the Old Testament prophecies and some of the prophets and the way they word things, and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and the visions that they had. We kind of scratch our bald heads, if you got a bald head, or scratch your head with hair, and you try to figure out, you know, exactly what it's saying, and there's a lot there. I still don't get it all. There's still a lot there that I still have not been able to really see. The more I study, the more I read, the more I get it. Right? Isn't that the way it works with all of us? You know, the Bible is written in a general form to everybody, but there are passages. You know, the Bible says rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to know who is God literally, specifically speaking to in that passage of Scripture. Old Testament primarily is written to what? The Jewish nation of Israel, or the Jew individually, personally, or to the nation of Israel. Primarily, that's the Old Testament. New Testament, some of that is Jewish, but also we transition into the Church of God and the Christian. And so when you're reading the Bible and you're studying the Bible, you got to say, okay, who is this specifically speaking to? Is it speaking directly to the nation of Israel? Is it speaking directly to me as an individual Christian? Is it speaking to the church? So that's how you rightly divide the Word of God. We have to understand that there are certain places that God speaks specifically and directly to individuals. There's a dangerous teaching going on in some of the churches today. It's called replacement theology. Yeah. Replacement theology is where all of the Old Testament passages that deals with Israel is replaced by the church. That is a false teaching. But it's creeping into even some of our good Bible-believing churches today. It's called replacement theology. Be careful with that. Don't allow the Old Testament passages to Israel to be confused with the church. Amen. The church is not seen in the Old Testament. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament anywhere. It's only mentioned in the New Testament. Old Testament, primarily the Jewish nation of Israel. Amen. And when we see the passages written in the Old Testament, that's who it's speaking to. Don't stick the church in there. Some of the Bible study Bibles, the Thompson Chain Reference, will have a lot of things at the top saying it's for the church. It's for the church. Some of these things for Israel. You got to be careful. Be careful of footnote theology. I personally don't read a Bible with any footnotes in it. I have a Bible with no footnotes, nothing at all. I put my own notes in there. And I study the Bible. I do. I read commentaries and I read different studies, but I don't read a Bible. I have tried. I can't do it. It's just me. You do whatever you want. I get bogged down in some of those footnotes. And sometimes those footnotes distract me from the reading of the Bible. I'm reading along and all of a sudden my eyes go to the bottom and I'm reading all of the comments by the commentator. And I have a hard time with that. I have two Bibles that I read from and study from, and they have no notes in except my own. But that's me. I'm not telling you that Bibles with footnotes are bad. They're not. Good men have spent a lot of years studying the Bible and putting their notes in it. But remember, they're notes of men. Amen. It's not theology. It's not doctrine per se. It's not what God says. It's not the Word of God. What Schofield says or A.W. Tozer or any of these people. I mean, everybody seems to be coming out with a Bible today. It's their own Bible. They got all their own notes in there. And I'm not against that at all. But we just got to remember they're notes of men and they're not notes of God. So be careful by using the footnote theology. Be careful by going onto the computer all the time and searching and getting ideas and thoughts, because there's a lot of people in our good churches today that are getting messed up on internet theology. Amen. And again, the internet theology is some man came up with some idea and, you know, now it's a craze on the internet. And people are getting entangled with that. Just study the Bible. Amen. Just read and study the Bible. Compare Scripture with Scripture. There are good writers out there. You read them. I read them. I have no problem with that. I'm always comparing what some of the other commentators have to say about certain passages of Scripture. But they're just men that are giving their thoughts and ideas on a passage of Scripture. Rightly divide the word of truth. Is it speaking to the Jew? Then understand that. Is it speaking to the church of God? Then understand it. Is it speaking to the Gentile? Understand that. Is it speaking to you directly? Understand it. Is it speaking to an individual in the Bible? Just make sure that you have that understanding, but spend time reading and studying the Scriptures. And I do this every year, and I know you probably get tired of hearing about it, but if you've never read your Bible through, start now. Start now. Get through the Bible in 2021. Maybe it's your first time ever going through the Bible. Maybe it's your second, third, fourth. I don't know, but just read the Bible every day. Just spend, you spend a half an hour at the most every day in the Bible. You'll get through it. You'll get through it with plenty of time. Really, is a half an hour a day too much out of the 24 hours that God has given you? No, it's not. Not at all. That's nothing compared to the 24 hours that God gives us. And so study the Bible, study the Scriptures, read the Bible. I'm not telling you got to read, 20 chapters a day. I mean, some people just don't have the time to do that. I understand it. I don't do that myself, but I do read the Bible through every year. And I think we just need to continually read the Scriptures. And study the Scriptures. Read and study more. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. Here's another thing that we need to do. Again, these are resolutions, or if you don't like that word resolution, come up with a different word. But resolve to do some of these things. Resolve to glorify God. Resolve to know Christ better. Resolve to be more holy. Resolve to read and study the Scriptures. How about praying and believing that God will answer? A lot of people pray, but a lot of people pray with this thought, well, I'm praying because I know I'm supposed to pray, but I don't think God's going to answer my prayer. Well, that's going to really get your prayers answered, right? I mean, pray expecting. Pray believing that God not only can, but will answer your prayer. I believe that that's the way we should be praying. We should pray believing. We should pray with faith. Moses, when he prayed, he said, "Look, God, you can do this, and I know you can do this, and so please, God, do it." And God did it. We need people that pray like that. Not with, "Okay, God, I just don't know if you can do this." God can do anything. Why do we limit God so often by thinking that he can't do this? He can do this. God can do anything. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" That when you think about that is, "Daddy, I'd like a piece of fish." "Yeah, here's a snake. Enjoy this." I mean, nobody's going to do that, right? I mean, I don't know anybody that would do that. Or "Dad, I'd like a piece of bread," and you hand him a stone. How can you can't do that. That's what God is saying here. You're gonna reward. You're gonna give your children what they ask. Obviously, if it's within reason. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him?" I forget. I don't know if it's John R. Rice or who it was said, "The problem with prayer is people don't ask God for anything. They just don't ask. They figure God's not going to do it. God can't do it, or whatever. And so people don't pray. They don't ask." Well, how about let's resolve to pray and believe God will answer in this next year. Now, we know how God answers prayer. He says yes. He says no. He may say wait. Right? I mean, that's how God answers prayer. Yes, no, wait. It's not for you right now. Maybe God has something better for you than what you're asking for. Just you make the request, you pray, you put it in God's hands, and "God, whatever it is that you want for me, I will be glad, I'll accept that, and I'll do that." That's how we need to pray. But we need to pray believing that God can answer, and God will answer. I'm praying like this with the three ladies that have cancer in our church. "God, you are very well capable of healing this cancer. God, I know that you can heal this cancer. And God, I'm asking you to please heal the cancer." And I named those three ladies. That it's in our bulletin. We've had it in there for several weeks. We can go to God and ask that way. "God, you're capable. You're the great physician. You can do that." And I've prayed this. "Jesus, when you were here on earth, you did all of the, you healed all these people. And Lord, I know you can do that from heaven right now if you so desire, if you so choose. But it's up to God." We have to just leave it with God. Make the prayer, give it to God, and ask him for his perfect will to be done. I think God, when we get to heaven, I think that we're going to find out a lot of things we could have had. I'm not talking just material things. We're not talking that. We have a lot of spiritual blessings given to us on a daily basis. Every morning, God's mercies are new. Every morning, his faithfulness is great. We serve an amazing God. He is the spiritual blessings that he allows us to have far outweighs any material things that you and I have. But we get so engrossed in the material because those are the things that we can see. Those are the things we can touch and feel and taste. And so we get so involved in the material, and we want this and we want that. We're so covetous. We're so lustful for things. We just want things. We see an advertisement. "Ooh, I want that." Hey, I've done that. Sitting there watching that car commercial, you know, that beautiful car. "Kath, can we get that?" "Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't do that. Don't say that." You know, she has to correct me. But, you know, jokingly I'll say that. But they look so nice, don't they? Those shiny, I mean, they're going through mud and it's shiny and there's not a speck of mud on there. And how do they do that? I go through the car wash and in the next 10 minutes, the car is filthy dirty. I just don't, how do they do that? I don't know how they do that. But we see things like that and we want that stuff that's out there and we want to fill our houses with stuff. And yet God has so many spiritual things that he wants to give us. He's just saying, God is there in heaven just saying, I'll give you these spiritual blessings. You just got to ask for them. We serve a great God.
Amen.
But I think we pray and we really don't believe that God is great. We don't believe that God can heal. We don't believe that God can fix. You know, God is the great fixer of anything.
Amen.
Right? Can God fix any? God can fix anything. God is the great salvager of relationships, of marriages, families, churches. God can fix anything. You ever know anybody that can just about fix anything? Farmers, to me, they can fix anything. I mean, you give them something with some baling wire. I mean, they can, a pair of pliers, they can fix it. Give them a hammer. Yeah, I can fix that. And these guys, you know, they can fix anything. But God is better than that. God can fix anything at all. We just have to trust Him to be our fixer. God can be our fixer. Just got to talk to Him. Got to ask Him. And then you got to be willing to do what He tells you to do to get it fixed. Some people just sit there. They ask God for something and they want God to immediately drop it from heaven or do something. And immediately they want God to do everything and fix everything, but they're not willing to do anything themselves.
Yeah.
That's not right either.
Amen.
God says, I'll step in and help you here, but I'm going to help you do it yourself.
Right.
I'm going to help you with that. And so we need to be willing to do that. Pray and just pray and believe that God will answer. I think that would change. I really believe personally that if we really got serious about praying for this country, don't tell me God can't fix this country. God can fix the country. If there was enough Christians that got on their faces or on their knees or just prayed about the situation in this country, God, I believe, could and would step in. The great awakenings, you know, we've had two great awakenings in this country. Pre-Revolutionary War, there was a great awakening with Jonathan Edwards. Pre-Civil War era, there was a second great awakening. You know, we need a third great awakening. And why can't we have a third great awakening? We could, because in the first and second great awakening, in the 1700s and the 1800s, there was just a handful of people that were willing to pray and seek God and really get a hold of God and want that revival for the land, and God answered their prayers. I think we're just lacking people that are serious enough to get a hold of God and say, God, we need a revival. We need a change in this land. We need a change in the country. Let's resolve to pray and believe God will answer our prayers, whatever they are. I mean, you know what you need, or you know what somebody else needs. Always pray for somebody else before yourself.
Amen.
You know, put others first. That's why we have those prayer lists back there. They're for you to pray for those other people. Pray for those missionaries. I pray for other churches on a Sunday morning. I listed off a whole bunch of churches that I prayed for this morning because I want God to bless them also. I want God to bless us, absolutely. But I'm asking God to bless these other churches. I'm not going to be completely selfish and just, oh God, please just bless us. No, bless these other churches, bless these other preachers, bless these other pastors, missionaries, evangelists. Pray for our evangelists as he and Mary are out every week. Preaching in these different churches. You need to be praying for them every week, every Sunday morning. Bring their names to God.
Amen.
And ask God to use them and bless them and give Rich the messages to preach. Every week he's kind of like almost in a different church, not all the time, but we need to pray for one another. Pray for the evangelists. Pray for the pastors. There's new pastors coming into New York. We need to pray for them and the churches through the transitions that are going on. Look at Matthew 22. Let's look at another one. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse 37. 22:37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I wrote this down. We need to reach out to others more. Reach out to others more. I said this morning, and of course, I think often we think this way. You know, more for me and less for thee. That sometimes is our theme song. You know, give me more and less for you. It should be the other way around. More for you and less for me. Remember, he must increase, but I must what?
Decrease.
We need to constantly be thinking about other people even more than we're thinking about ourselves. This is not my idea, but I think it's a great idea. I was talking to a pastor at a restaurant this afternoon. We went over and ate in Auburn, and a pastor friend of mine was there, and we were talking about different things. And I told him about this, and he's thought about this, and he thinks it's a great idea, and he's doing some things. And, you know, I think the way that we reach out to people is important. And we need to look for ways that we can do that. I think our website is a great way to reach out for people. How many of you have been on our church website? Many of you have been on our church website. We have a video on there on how to be saved. Have you looked at that? I mean, when I got that information from the Garraway boy there, Bruce? No.
Caleb
Garraway. When I saw that, I wanted the guy that takes care of our website. I said, I want that video on our website. It's a clear presentation of the gospel. It's a fantastic way to spread the gospel message out. No telling, I don't know, but no telling how many people may have viewed that, looked at that, and gotten saved down through the years. We don't know. We have our website on the back of this postcard. And so people in the area are hopefully going on our website. And it says in there how to be saved. And hopefully they're going on and looking at that. But there's different ways. Technology has just come so far. I mean, 20 years ago, we would have never thought about having a phone sitting in front of the pulpit and broadcasting live on Facebook. I don't know if there was Facebook 20, right? There wasn't Facebook 20 years ago. Things have changed so much. Trying to think of another word. Technology has just gone berserk. Sometimes I think it's maybe gone a little too far, but it's growing all the time. This pastor friend that we were talking about today, he uses this little, it's a QR code. See this funny little thing that people are putting on things? You take your smartphone and you zap it and it'll take you right to he's putting that on all of his gospel tracks. And so people can, with their smartphones, they can just take a picture of that and it takes them immediately to their website. I said, ooh, that's a good idea. We need to look into that. Put it on our tracks. That way, because so many people today are going to smartphones. Some people aren't, but most people are going to smartphones. How many of you have a smartphone? Raise your hand. Look at that. Look at all these smart people here. these things are smarter than I am. This thing does things that I still don't know how to operate most of it. It's incredible. But that's a lot of people. That's the trend that seems to be going in that direction. I think we ought to capitalize on some of those things. Not on everything, but on some of those things. We need to utilize that. And because this is where people are reaching out to today. This is what people are doing. They're looking on, you know, years ago we used to run an ad in the Yellow Pages. We used to pay money for that. And we ran it for years. Finally, people don't even use it. When's the last time you used a Yellow Page? Or a phone book? I mean, we get them every year. We get one. They sit underneath my desk, and I never open it up. I never look at it. But people don't look at phone books pretty much anymore, do they? Remember the old-fashioned days when there used to be a phone booth and a great big thick phone book in there? I mean, those days are pretty much gone. When I see a phone booth now, I go, oh, look, Kath, there's a phone booth, right? I mean, how many do we see? We don't see phone booths anymore. I mean, they're pretty much, they're history. What's a phone booth?
And a phone book.
And a phone book? Yeah, kids today, what's a phone booth? That's where Superman goes in and yeah. But today we have the internet, we have smartphones, we have computers, we have devices. People carry around devices and that's how, unfortunately, maybe we don't agree with it completely, but that's how people are communicating today. That's how people are getting information today. Like it or not, that's how people are getting their information, is over the internet. And so I think that we need to be smart and we need to be wise in those areas and try to get as much information as we can out there. But we need to reach out to others. I've told you this. I'd like to see us do this twice a year. Twice a year. And I'd like to broaden it out even more and get this out into other areas around, other zip codes and for, you know, yes, $1,300 or so to do 4,822, but What's a soul worth? If somebody picks this up and turns it over and reads how to be saved and bows their head and prays and asks the Lord to save them, isn't it worth it?
Amen.
Isn't it worth it? I think it is. I think it's worth it. It's far, the soul of a person is worth far more than that. I think that we all need to talk to more people about the Lord too.
Yes, come on.
Talk to more people about the Lord. I said this morning the track rack was packed full. I've got to be honest with you, I didn't even look at it this afternoon. Don't know if it's half empty, half full. If you're a pessimist, it's half empty. If you're an optimist, it's half full, right? I don't know if people took tracks. Anybody take any tracks out today? But pass them out. Give them to somebody and invite somebody to church. I was talking with this pastor this afternoon. I says, I really personally believe that the best way to get people into church is by individuals talking to people and inviting them with a personal invitation.
Yeah.
Eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, face to face. That is still the best way that you can communicate with somebody and get them in church. You will know people and see people and talk to people that I will not, and vice versa. And I really believe that that is the greatest way to get the gospel out or to get people into church is you inviting somebody. Let's have a challenge this year. Let's all work on getting somebody in the church that's not here. I'm not telling you, don't go to another church and try to pull out another person out of another church and get them to come to church. Here. No, we're not trying to do that. Try to get somebody that's lost and get them saved and get them into church, or somebody that is not church. They might be saved and not going anywhere. Then yes, you know people like that. Paul works with guys, and I've added them to my prayer list, and I got Doug's brother added to my prayer list, praying for these people that they'll get saved and get into church. But again, I may never see Doug's brother, but he and Sarah, they see him. And so I'm praying that God will really touch their hearts. And Paul works with guys that he's been witnessing to and inviting to church. And so they're on my list. I'm praying for them that God will get a hold of their hearts and that Paul would continue to work on them. That's what we need to do. Get somebody on your list and say, I'm going to pray for this person and I'm going to try to get them into church. I'm going to try to get them saved, get them into heaven, but then get them into church. That's what we all need to be doing. Again, if we all did that, we'd double our attendance in a year. And if then everybody then did that, we'd double the attendance again. We'd be out of this building in no time. We need to reach out to others. See, the Bible does say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We're to love the Lord first, then we're to love one another. I have so many here. I told you, I only got through three this morning out of the 65 I've got written down here, and it's getting late. You missed that? I didn't tell you how many I had? Go to Ephesians 5. I'll just give you another one or two, and then we'll wrap it up. 65 points. You never know, right? Chapter 5 of Ephesians, look at verse 16. I read this in Sunday school this morning. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. That little phrase means to rescue or recover our time from waste. How much time do we waste in a day? You ever think about how much time you and I waste every day? We waste time. I think every human being wastes time every day. We may sleep beyond the time that we should sleep. You know the book of Proverbs? You ever read the book of... I'm sure that you have. You read the book of Proverbs, it says a lot about sleeping and being a sluggard and sleeping. And yet sometimes we spend way too much time doing that. We waste our time in other ways. Today we've got that flat screen thing in our living room or wherever it is, and we spend a lot of times looking at that and wasting our time with that or games or whatever it is that you do. Computers, Facebook, on your phone, whatever it is. We waste a lot of time. The Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are getting more and more evil every day. We just saw this thing that happened on Christmas morning there in Nashville, Tennessee, where this guy, apparently, I think he was in that RV and just blew it up. it's amazing what we see going on today.
Yeah.
The riots and the chaos in these cities and people saying, this is it. We're going to have our own little city here. This is our own little country here out in what, Seattle they were doing that? Chaz or whatever. It's like, what is wrong with people today? Black Lives Matter and all of that stuff. Oh, you're not supposed to say that. Well, you know, God loves everybody. God loves black lives. He loves white lives. He loves Asian lives. He loves brown lives. He loves pink lives. And he loves them all. What's that song that the kids sing? Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. I mean, God loves everybody. And we see the nonsense going on around us constantly. We need to redeem the time in this next year coming up. Set that time aside that you need to spend time with God every day. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'll give you one more and we'll let you go home. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How about just being a living sacrifice?
Yeah, amen.
Just a living sacrifice. God desires that. Paul says, I beseech you. I ask with urgency. That's what the word beseech means. I beseech you. I beg you, brethren, Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what we need to do. We need to just be a living sacrifice for the Lord. Lord, I'm here. Here I am. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Here's my brain, my mind, my mouth. Lord, use me for your honor, for your glory. Can we do that? That's what being a living sacrifice is. You're saying, here I am, Lord, use me. Work through me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to be an encouragement. Help me be the best husband I can be, the best wife I can be, the best father, the best mother, the best preacher, the best whatever, just the best Christian. I've said this before. Lauren Dawson that's what he used to pray. God, help me to be the best Christian I can possibly be. Because the best Christian will be the best father, the best mother, the best right. I mean, that's what we need. We need Christians today that are living sacrifices. Just willing to serve God no matter what God says. If God says, go here, go there. God says, I want you to do this, then do that. I mean, whatever it is that the Lord wants you to do, you've got to be willing to do that. If God says, I want you to teach a Sunday school class, then do it. Come to pastor, come to me and say, hey, I think God wants me to do this. We'll work something out. Or if the Lord is leading you to some other ministry, just talk to us, right? Talk to us and see what God is trying to get you to do. I think God he's trying to get a lot of Christians to do a lot of things. The problem is there's a lot of Christians that don't want to do anything. Yeah, they just want to, you know, sit home and enjoy life. Twiddle their thumbs and just have a good time. And there's so much work to do. So much work to do. Oh, I got one more I want to give you. 1 John chapter 2. I'm sorry, I didn't try. I'm not trying to mislead you. Just here's an important one. I may end up doing that for the rest of the 60 that I got here. Oh, I got one more. Here, let me just do one more. That's it. Just one more. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. 1 John 2, 28. 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I wrote this down. To resolve to do nothing to be ashamed of if I were caught. I'll say it again. To resolve to do nothing to be ashamed of if I were caught. Is that good?
Amen.
I think it's a good one. To do nothing to be ashamed of if I were caught. Now, the ultimate one that's going to catch us one of these days is the Lord. God Almighty. Going to catch us. But how about anybody else? I often say you can go on my computer, you can take my phone, you can go through it, you can see anything you want on here. I hide nothing. I'll even give you my password to my phone. Should I do that? I don't know if I should do that. If you want my password, I'll give you my password. I have nothing to hide. Nothing to hide. How about you? Shouldn't we be that way?
Amen.
We should not hide nothing. Kids that won't give their parents a password for a phone, that's wrong. Every parent ought to know how to get into their child's phone and look at anything on that phone that they want to look at. Amen. We should have nothing on our devices that we would be ashamed of if anybody else looked at it. Amen? Amen. Remember, God knows what we're looking at or listening to or doing or whatever. God knows it anyway. And so we should be that transparent, I believe. But let's resolve to do nothing to be ashamed of if I were caught. Or if you were caught.
Amen.
But remember, isn't that what the Bible says there in verse 28? When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I wonder how many Christians are going to be ashamed at the coming of Jesus Christ. I often wonder how many Christians will be ashamed when the Lord comes back maybe on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night and they're not in church. Or they're not reading their Bibles. They're not praying. They're not serving God. They're not doing what God wants them to do. Let's resolve to put these things into practice in our lives. I'll just give you the rest of them. We don't have time to look at them. To do nothing out of revenge. We should do nothing out of revenge. We should say nothing negative about someone else. Well, we could work on that. Yeah, amen. I could work on that. To say nothing negative about somebody else. We should resolve to do that. And there's scripture on it. Proverbs 15, 23, 26, and 28. Nothing to do nothing out of revenge. Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. To never give an ear to gossip. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Not to give in to fleshly desires. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Not to complain when afflictions and troubles come. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, and Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And then 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, not to give up, give in, or give out. These are just some of the things we should resolve to do or not to do. Father, thank you again for the message. Lord, help us to live this book. Help us, Lord, to resolve to be better Christians. Lord, I pray that you would work mightily in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, you know where we need help. You know where we need to correct some things. Lord, you know that. So I pray that you would help us in those areas, Lord. Forgive us.